Here we are at Holy Week and Easter. And the whole thing we've been saying now for our weeks of study in Acts is that it was the resurrection to which they testified. Their witness was to the resurrection. Just so many things coming together here. If we were staying with Acts this morning, we'd be at Saul of Tarsus, still breathing out murderous threats against the Christians. And so I'm just thinking of what we've been trying to say with Peter's great sermon, that God has made him both Lord and Christ. And if he's in charge, what does it mean? I'm not. Caesar's not. Moses is not. Right? And now we're going to celebrate one more. Death is not in charge. Romans 5, from Adam to Moses, death reigned. Death was in charge. From Adam to Moses. What happened at Moses? A law was given. Okay? Before Moses, there was no law, so you couldn't break the commands. There were no commands to break, and yet, because of Adam's sin, death remained in charge. And so if Christ is in charge, if God has made him both Lord and Christ, given him a name, Jack, above all other names, then I'm not in charge. And what have we already seen in our study? What does it look like when I'm not in charge? It looks like Stephen saying, stone me if you want, but I see Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Is that what it looks like? That's what it looks like. They loved not their lives, what? Unto death. And so here we have a post-Jesus picture of what it looks like for me not to be in charge. I willingly lay down my life. Next, we have Caesar in charge, imprisoning the apostles, right? We're just two chapters away from Peter being in prison because Herod thought it was great because they liked it when he killed James. And so Caesar thinks he's in charge, but something happened in the middle of the night and an angel came and Peter walked out of the jail. And so if Christ is in charge, I'm not in charge. Caesar's not in charge, even though he may think. What did David say? Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth take their stand and saying what? Let us cast off their fetters. Let's get rid of this God thing. He who sits in the heavens laughs. And then he scoffs. Would anybody like to give me a God scoff? Go ahead, Jack. Do it. I was thinking of you. The Lord laughs, he scoffs, and then it says he rebukes them, and then it says he terrifies them. Psalm 2, you can read it. He laughs, he scoffs, he rebukes them. And then he terrifies them in his anger. Who's in charge? And then here we are, Saul of Tarsus, defending who? Who's he think in charge? Moses. I've got to defend Moses. This is my life. He's breathing out threats, not because of Caesar, not because of himself, but because of his dear lifelong devotion to the Torah and to the law. And if it means killing Christians, Moses is still in charge. And that's what it looks like. Threats of death. But along comes God with His bright, shining light. And Saul, is on the ground looking up. Not on his high perch of Judaism and Phariseeism looking down. He's on the ground. And he's looking up. Who are you, Lord? So that's where we are in Acts. But I just want to read this morning. I'm thinking of all the beauty of what we've been studying and the glorious gospel of the kingdom and Ron Gray opening his time last week with us saying, you can't see the kingdom without being reborn from above. And I just have two or three passages I want to read as we celebrate me not being in charge and Moses no longer in charge and Caesar certainly not in charge and, thank God, death no longer has mastery over him. Okay? So I want to read, fast forward, I don't know, maybe 40, 50 years to Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. Beautiful, beautiful letter. Would you just enjoy this with me this morning? Would you just listen to the language here of this man who's been transformed by new creation? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. To the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father. Listen carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have to stop for a moment. When the Jews were awaiting the Messiah, you understand they're looking for the interpretation of what has been prophesied that the Messiah would look like, right? Eyes of fire. A warrior king like who? David. Who will deliver us from our enemies. You understand the Jewish mindset. They're looking for that. They're looking for somebody riding into Jerusalem with their troops behind them, with their flag raised saying, I'm taking over. Nobody was looking, not just for the carpenter from Nazareth coming in on a donkey. Nobody was looking for the revelation of God in this Father Son thing. Now there were prophecies that were innuendos from David, the Son of Man and the Son of God. These were vague prophecies, but nobody was looking for God to come and reveal Himself in this Father Son thing. If you've seen me, what? Seen the Father. Pilate, are you the Son of God? What do you think? And so here is Paul with this revelation. I'm just trying to help you see what is transpiring with these people. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's got it. He got it all. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. Thank you, Dr. Horstemeyer, What's the motivation of the universe? Anyone like to quote Mark?
Love.
Motivation of the universe, T. In love, He predestined us. He loved, therefore He gave. Gave who? Son. Motivation of the universe. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Would you just look at the language with me? I just want you to enjoy it. The kind, in love, Aaron, according to what? The kind intention of His will. Can you just see it here? The kind intention of a father adopting you as his children. Because we were good, right? To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Man, you're talking about love poured out. Which He freely, all right? We have in love, we have kind intention, and then we have what? Freely bestowed. Freely, Maureen, 19 years old, freely bestowed in love according to the kind intention of His will. Love poured out. I saw the phrase this week as I was reading, poured out, poured out. We have hope, Romans 5, and a hope will not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. How? How? By the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Robert. Freely bestowed. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. All right, we got love. We got kind intention. We got freely bestowed, and now we got riches of His grace. Isn't it this language from Paul, the disciple of Moses? Law, 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 law. We're watching the letter that is the evidence of new creation in a man. This is Paul's rebirth from Moses to new creation. Do you see it? This is Saul of Tarsus 30, 40 years ago, breathing out threats, taking men and women, just unfazed by the fact that they would be jailed and beaten. Same guy, recreated, back from the dead, Dean. Here he is. He made known, lavish, there it is again, riches of His grace, which He what? Lavished on us. Wow, poured out, love poured out. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of time, and that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. And to this end, that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. We've talked about this many times. Whenever I've taught on the Holy Spirit, I've used the word earnest. And anyone in here who's bought a home knows what earnest money is. Right? It means I'm going to give you a little bit, And then on Friday, I'm going to come back and what? Give you the rest of it. But here's my earnest. I want this house. Hold it for me. So here's the Holy Spirit coming into Maureen at 19. Says, I want you in recreation. But for now, here's my deposit. You're mine and you're all mine and you're going to be mine in the age to come. But for right now, I'm giving you an earnest of your full inheritance, which is to be a child and a friend and a co-heir with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But for right now, just a little down payment, Frankie. The earnest of our inheritance, given as a pledge. Who's making the pledge? He is. You're mine. You're predestined to be mine. And I'm going to mark you as mine. And I'm going to give you a little taste of what it's like to be mine. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus that exists among you and your love for all the saints, I can't quit giving thanks for you. And still praying for you, still making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, there it is again, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are all in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Far. Would you mind saying it with me again? Far. Far above. Another great understatement in the Bible. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and name, every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. I'm inspired. What a beautiful passage written by Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threats and curses against the church. I can't wait to get there in Acts. I can't wait to watch what happens and how God has to do it through dreams and visions, because it's so unprecedented. You wouldn't get it any other way. When God wants to say something dramatic or change something, He has to put you to sleep, Hal, to do it. Abraham fell into a trance, it says. Fell into a deep sleep. And there God said to him, I'm going to do something with you that's unprecedented. Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threats, God puts him to sleep. Blinds him for 3 days. But in those marvelous 3 days, what do you suppose happened? All kinds of spiritual things going on inside of him where he could write something like this, when all of his life Moses had been the one. Now Moses just serves as a nice little background story. One writer says God was writing a new symphony at which Moses would serve as just background music. Wow. Now, Romans 12, again, another letter from Paul. If I could just read that one and we'll make a day of it. I was thinking about the way God had to deal with this unprecedented moment, the importance of Revelation and what He was doing and the unfolding of it. It had to be with dreams and visions because you just wouldn't believe it any other way. So Peter is in the midst of great revival. He's opened the door for the gospel, but he's still not sure about the Gentiles, but God wants to show him about the Gentiles. So how does he do it? In a vision. Praying in the middle of the afternoon, he fell into a trance. And he sees a sheet coming down, and God's trying to get something across to him that he can't get to him any other way. But it's unprecedented. Because even with Peter, there's a little bit of Moses still in charge here. He wants to send somebody to pray for Saul, that his eyes would be open. How does he do it? In a dream. A man named Ananias, just minding his own business, and the Lord comes to him in a dream. And he said, there's a guy named Saul, and he's staying at this house on Straight Street. I want you to go pray for him and put your hands on him. He's a chosen instrument of mine. And Ananias says, oh, I've heard about him, Lord. I know this man. And so he can't do it without this unprecedented vision. Sometimes it's the only way. That's how it's happening. I wanted to read Romans 12, following Ephesians 1. And I just want to say a thing or two about what it's looking like in our lives in new creation. We see it in Paul. We see it in Christ, of course. We see it in the apostles unfolding. But after reading Ephesians 1, if you could just pretend that Romans 12 is following it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or act of worship. I don't want to stop and teach on worship, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. We got to figure out a way to give God what He wants. And it ain't just a pretty song. This is new creation living, what follows. It's the presentation of our lives to Him in view of what we've just read of His lavish, poured out love, freely given, bestowed upon us as an inheritance. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, worship God this way. What did He tell the woman at the well? He said, the time is coming. He said, as a matter of fact, what? It's already here. When anybody, if they're going to worship me, it will be in spirit. It will be internal. It will reflect new creation. It will reflect a transformed person who understands that I'm in charge and have a name above every name and nobody else is in charge. And here's what it's going to look like. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove, so that you can prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. With your recreated person by the Spirit, seeing the kingdom of God, you're going to prove that when God's in charge, it's perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Who's not in charge? I'm not in charge. I was so blessed to see Kay walk over and shut the door today. I wanted to shut that door so bad, but I said, I'm not going to do it. I hate it when that door's left open. And it's irritating me, and I can't get concentrated here because that door's open. But I'm not going to go do it. I'm not going to leave my seat and go close the door. And I saw Kay walk quietly over here. And she closed the door and said, I wanted to catch your eye and just say thank you. That helped me. Pastors are funny people. They're strange people. Couldn't leave the church early this morning because there was a piece of paper in the front yard. I knew nobody's going to pick that up. I got to stop and pick it up. Well, I stopped and picked it up. But I left one. I left one for somebody else. For through the grace given to me, this is Paul speaking, through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. You can't live resurrection life by trying harder and just reading your Bible. That's not what this is. This is a transformed life. Think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us, who? Each of us, Louise, each of us, is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. I enjoyed picking up the mail this morning, walking in, and the council member sitting there in the foyer, and I said, offering. Offering, 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 letter of thanks. Offering. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Listen, abhor. That's a strong word. I hadn't done the search on it yet. But abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. I'm many years old in Christ, and I'm just now learning something about that. That the flesh works against the spirit. They're enemies. And that if I don't learn to hate evil, then it's going to be my friend to some degree. Abhor it. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think that's even possible without new creation. I don't think you can bless your enemies without the Spirit of Christ. You can't, because it's the Spirit of Christ that lets you do that. Because that's what He did. And He said, if you're going to be my followers, you better learn how to pray for your enemies and find some way to do them good. You can't do that by white-knuckling it. You just can't. I'm sorry. You can't do it by going to church more. It's a work of new creation, of coming back from the dead and realizing you've been bought with a price. Rejoice with those that rejoice. That's easy. Weep with those that weep. Jack and I were lamenting a friend in need this morning and not knowing how to pray. And sometimes all you can do is what? Bobby and I talking a friend this morning. I don't know what to do. And so what do? You do what new creation demands that you do. You do what Jesus did when he came to the tomb of Lazarus. He wept. I hate this. My friend is gone. You weep with those that weep. Right? How many of you know there's a lot of folks weeping this morning? It doesn't say always just rush over and tell them everything's going to be all right. Sometimes you need somebody to come up to you and put your arms around you and just cry with you. That's God. That's a new creation thing. That's new creation. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise. I hate this. In your own estimation. I like my opinions. I like to be right. And in being right, you get to prove others wrong. And you get to just rub it in. And Jesus said, that's not new creation living. And it won't work in my kingdom. Never, don't you ever pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. How many of you are beginning to see that if we live this out, the kingdom would come? It'd be here. It'd be heaven on earth, wouldn't it? It would. Suppose they read this in D.C. at the Senate, opening of the Senate in the morning. What do you think would happen? Well, it'd either be a mass walkout or we'd have a different country. If possible, and sometimes it's not possible, but if possible, as far as it depends on you, Brenda, be at peace with everybody. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Leave some room for the wrath of God. What was that movie, Jack, with Willie Nelson? Was it The Redheaded Stranger, where he's the preacher in the western town? Now, come on, it's a great illustration. And he starts calmly calling down curses from heaven on the people that are trying to do him wrong, and suddenly they're like, don't say that, don't say that. And he's just kind of calmly calling down heaven's fire on them. It's interesting. Cowboys with guns got very afraid. Come on, we just read it. He will rebuke, he will laugh, he will scoff, he will rebuke, and what? Will terrify them in his fury. So leave some room for that. Leave some room for that. But if your enemy is hungry, just give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Here's the kicker. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So here is Christ taking evil upon himself and not being overcome by it, but overcoming it with love poured out. He became sin for us. He took evil, all of it, onto himself, rode it all the way out to death, triumphed over it in resurrection. And as followers of him, it's what we get to do, to show that we are creatures of new creation. who have seen the kingdom in the Spirit, who understand that He really is Lord and Christ. There's not a name anywhere comparable. I love those two passages. So if you'd like to stand, we'll honor the Scriptures by standing in this last passage, and I'll close with Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Wait a minute. Whew. Anybody in here glad that you're at peace with God this morning? I'm at peace with God, Dean. He's not mad at me. I'm not mad at Him. No, I'm at peace with God. That only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance. Perseverance, a proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. You know why it doesn't disappoint? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We're made for new creation. Made for new creation. This world is alien to me more and more, and I trust I'm an alien to it more and more. But if you can't exult in the glory of new creation, you can't exult in your tribulations. The other has to come first. You have to know the love of God's been poured out by the Spirit. What beautiful passages. Aren't they beautiful? Could we just eat of God's Word this morning? Would you just drink it in this morning? Lavished on you, freely given, love poured out. Poured out. Poured out. Not sprinkled. Poured out. How wonderful. Amen, Robert. A little parting insight I read this week, that Thomas, after the resurrection, said, "I'm not going to believe till I put my hand in his side." And it's like the Lord kind of chuckled and said, "No problem. Come on, Thomas." And it doesn't say that he did, but he responded with this. He says, "My Lord and my God." First time that phrase ever been used together. My Lord, in other words, the Son, and my God. You're dismissed. God bless you.